And good morning. Hi, I'm Robert Valentine. Welcome to the second edition of Pop Journalism, like I said in the intro. It's June 23rd, 2002, and it looks like it's going to be a really warm day today. It's supposed to be 32 degrees, hot and humid, and of course there's going to be smog and high UV, but right now it's hazy and 20 degrees. We're going to start the week in review this week. We started a little late. We got a lot to cover, so we'll just go right into the segment. We have three news magazine segments this week, one about the G8, and also one about the new show, American Idol. If you haven't seen that show yet, I'll explain it in just a bit. So here we go with the week in review. It's almost time. The G8 Summit is about to take place in Kananaskis, Alberta. Next week, from June 26th to 27th, leaders of the world's wealthiest nations will gather for an informal meeting to discuss the world's problems. The leaders of the G8 are from France, Germany, the US, the United Kingdom, Japan, Italy, Russia, and of course, Canada. On with the story. For the past 28 years, the leaders of the world's most powerful nations have been gathering together once a year. But for the past 3 years, anti-globalization protests have been marked with increasing violence and charges of police brutality. The most infamous of these events occurred during last year's G8 in Genoa, Italy. During that summit, a protester was shot dead by police, and more than 231 people were injured in 2 days of violence. Most of the 280 people arrested at the event were freed, but damage from the violence was estimated at over $45 million. This year, in the shadow of the events of September 11th, security has been stepped up. It's estimated that the Canadian government is going to spend $500 million on G8-related security. Maude Barlow of the Council of Canada broke the cost down in an Ottawa news conference earlier this week.
Here they will seal themselves inside a military fortress that is going to cost the Canadian taxpayers $16 million an hour.
Federal Justice Minister Martin Cochon responded to criticism that Canada's G8 security preparations are too costly.
I do believe that we have to proceed on a case-by-case basis, and it's always a question of balance approach.
Yes, $500 million worth of balance. But the money's going to be spent regardless of protests and the whining of pundits. So stand up, Canada. Face the inevitable. Be proud. We're the hosts of the G8 Summit.
Okay, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Knock in the Boots by H-Town.
Verse and a chorus, please.
Oh, come on. Come on, turn the lights down and let me get on it. Cause when I do, just me and you, it'll be so right, yeah, yeah.
That was just the sound of Stephanie, one particularly ill-fated auditioner vying to become an American Idol. American Idol is a new TV reality show concept imported from Britain, now airing in North America on Fox and Global. The concept is pretty straightforward. Singers and dancers audition in hopes of becoming a solo pop star complete with a recording contract. A panel of three music industry professionals judges the performers and whittles down the list to one. One of those judges is even a former pop star herself, Paula Abdul.
Wow, Paula.
Well, you are very, very outgoing and you woke us up, that's for sure.
Good morning.
I personally don't feel that you're the next American Idol.
And Paula's the nice one. Along the way, more embarrassingly awful singers get their dreams crushed by the other two blunt judges making up the panel.
When you entered this competition, did you really believe that you could become what you're standing on now, the American Idol?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you're deaf.
But while the American Idol concept is new to North American television, the internet has its own version. On Yahoo, they operate a voice chat system, and one of the chat rooms is for karaoke. We here at Pop Journalism eavesdropped, and it's just as brutal as any American Idol competition or Hollywood audition.
Someone I don't know, but
please stop. You're really crap.
And I wish on a star that somewhere you are, you'll never find it so high. You gotta go find your shining star.
So that's the internet competition for you. But what about Stephanie? Well, Stephanie just wouldn't take no for an answer and went back to the judges.
I don't know if I made it or not, because they didn't say come to Hollywood.
Hello?
Do you have a twin?
I was just curious if I did make it, if I'm coming to Hollywood, because I think I have what it takes.
We said no.
We said no.
But why?
Because you're not good enough.
Because you're not good enough. You're not a good singer at all.
Oh, hell no. See, the thing is, I'm right here, because I'm the whole package right here. I got the looks, I got the style, and I'm the next Tina Marie or the Stephanie Sugarman right here. Let me tell you. Good loving body, rockin' knockin' boots all night long, making love to a
Well, I guess she's auditioning all over again.
Stephanie.
Body rockin' knockin'
boots. Okay. Oh, Stephanie,
it's okay.
Listen, honey, okay. Auditions, you either get it or you don't, and you you go on to the next audition.
I will.
See you
and
later,
you take,
Stephanie.
You take
you
the
won't
criticism.
Be coming to Hollywood. See you later.
I will be coming to Hollywood, and I'll see you, and my millions are going to be there.
And also this week, you may have heard Ann Landers, the columnist, whose snappy, plain-spoken, and timely advice helped millions of readers deal with everything from birth to death, died Saturday. She was 83. She died from complications from bone marrow cancer, and it was less than 2 weeks before her July 4th birthday. Her column first appeared in print on October 16th, 1955, in the Chicago Sun-Times. In 1993, she was the world's most widely syndicated columnist, appearing in more than 1,200 newspapers worldwide, with 90 million readers daily. Her twin sister Pauline followed her into the profession as a writer of the Dear Abby column. Every year there's a new one. Most livable U.S. city, friendliest city, town with the best manners. And now comes the first annual Sweatiest City Award. Top honors go to San Antonio, Texas. On a typical summer day, San Antonio residents lose more than 1 liter of perspiration per hour during routine exercise such as walking. Dallas, Fort Worth, New Orleans, Houston, and West Palm Beach, Florida, fleshed out the top 5 sweatiest cities. The list was released on Thursday by Procter & Gamble's Old Spice Red Zone deodorant to sweat up some first day of summer publicity. What the PR people won't do. And, finally, supermodel Cindy Crawford said Thursday she was considering taking a multi-million dollar trip into space with Russian cosmonauts. Crawford said she would only go if she could, quote, go there and be back in a week. Ah. You may also remember NSYNC band member Lance Bass is due to be sent off the planet next October. We can only hope there's the start of a list of annoying celebrities sending off the planet. My top 5 list starts with Michael Jackson, followed by Carrot Top, and Fox's News Bill O'Reilly, the cast of Friends, of course the rest of NSYNC, and also on the list is Will Smith, Britney Spears, Nicolas Cage, all Much Music VJs.